I'm really happy that Chuck Haddix was able to line up this next speaker, because I know there's a lot of interest out there on her topic, which is online, internet, and CD-ROM music resources. Cynthia Churchwell is the social sciences reference librarian at the Miller Nichols Library at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and she's also the coordinator of internet instruction for coworkers, faculty, and students.
Hello. The advent of the technology age is having a dramatic impact on society. It is changing the way we communicate, conduct business, perform research, and even the way some of us shop. Some people think that technology is having positive effects on society because of the vast amount of resources that are now accessible from the privacy of one's own home. Others think that society's obsession with doing everything faster and easier is harmful because some technology does not promote physical interaction. For example, with the use of video conferencing, people don't have to travel to meetings. Video cameras and microphones at different locations can be connected to a phone line, and people can conduct business face-to-face, so to speak. But similar technology makes it possible for people to conduct research and locate obscure items that are needed to complete a project. One product of technological advancement that is making communication and research faster and easier is the internet. Maybe some of you have heard of the information superhighway, an intricate connection of computer networks that spans the globe. The internet, when it was first constructed in the late 60s, was intended for government use and was later used by scientists and other people in academia. It could be used to participate in scholarly discussion groups, transfer documents, and send electronic mail. With the proliferation of computers and their advanced capabilities, the internet's popularity is growing at an astronomical rate. Today, in addition to being used for the activities I already mentioned, the internet is used by a variety of people for additional reasons. It is used by business people as a marketing tool, commercial organizations as a place to display and sell products, students completing distance education course requirements, people conducting research, artists experimenting with computer-generated art, and even people like you and me who feel a need to publicize their opinions on various topics. The World Wide Web, which is the graphical part of the internet, makes it possible to display billboard-like advertisements, photographs, maps, and anything else that can be generated by a computer or scanned into computerized format. I'm sure that more innovative uses of the internet will continue to develop. In addition to being a resource itself, another major function of the internet is its capability of providing a medium through which people can gain access to databases. These databases could be online catalogs of library holdings or subscription-based databases that provide citations and abstracts for articles and books that have been written. The focus of my presentation will be on two fee-based international databases, Arlen and WorldCat, which are accessible via the internet, and resources on the World Wide Web related to music. I have made guides that show search examples and internet addresses. Since we are here in Kansas City, a famous place for jazz, my examples will have a Charlie Parker theme. So I hope that those of you with other interests will not feel slighted. The first database I'm going to show you is the Arlen Bibliographic File. This file contains entries for items owned by libraries and research organizations that are members of the Research Libraries Group. Members include such prestigious institutions as Columbia University, the New York Public Library, and even the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art right here in Kansas City. The database is especially noted for the depth of its holdings in the humanities and social sciences, but all of you familiar with the Rigler-Deutsch Index will be happy to know that its entries are also included in the database. The Rigler-Deutsch Index, a useful tool for identifying record labels of 78s, is a very cumbersome tool to use in the microfiche format. Standard data entry rules used today, such as cross-referencing, were not followed, making it possible for duplicate entries to be made. And this makes it difficult to identify all the included works of a particular musician. And the index also suffers from incomplete entries. Although the index has a few problems, the fact that it is now in a computerized format makes it much easier to search and identify artists and labels. One way to gain access to the database is to issue the Internet Telnet command. This command allows you to use items on a computer at a remote location as if you were actually sitting at that computer. And that's what I've done, and I'm going to show you the screens that I went through to show you some examples of searches. If you can't see this screen very well, you can go through some of the examples in the guides that I've made.
The middle. Far right.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but can you see?
Yeah. Thank you.
We can do a goose neck there.
If you still can't see, I'd be happy to go through some of these screens again at the end of my presentation if there's extra time. This is the first screen that you see when you enter the database. So you are given some choices for searching and a command line on which to type your search. So I've typed in a search to look in the author index for entries by a Parker, and I just typed in C-H-A-R-L and the truncation symbol, because he could be in the database as either Charles or Charlie. So I've typed that in. And I'm taken to the listings in the author index. And we can see on lines 4, there are 27 entries for a Charles Parker. And then further down on the screen, on lines 12, 13, and 14, there are entries for a Charles Christopher Parker. So that those are also entries for him. So I can choose all the items on those line numbers by just typing in the line numbers. So on the command line, I've typed 4, 12, 13, and 14. With commas between them. So that gives us a total of 126 records, and I'm shown the first 14. If various authors are included, they chose not to show any of the authors in this brief display, but we can see the titles are listed there and the dates. Now, what I chose to do is to go back into the author index, so I typed that same search again. But this time, I browsed down in the index to where we see the entries for Charlie Parker. So on lines 13 and 14, we can see there are more entries for this person. So I've chosen to look at those records. So I typed in the line numbers 13 and 14. So now we have another total of 712 records. Now, if I'm interested in all of the records, whether the author is listed as Charles Parker or Charlie Parker, there's a way I can do a search for those items. I can issue the review command. And this shows me all of the searches that I've done. So there are two searches there. And as for a third search, I can look for items that have either one of my first two searches present. Giving me a grand total of 813 items. That would be quite a few records to look through. So one of the options I can use to limit my search is the location code. The Arlen Bibliographic Database has a location code for all of its records. And although most of the locations refer to a particular Arlen institution, there is a code for the items from the Rigler-Deutsch Index. So I've used that location code to limit my search results. So now I'm down to just 103 items, which is a much more manageable number. And then also, I'll know that these items are in a 78 format as well. So I've chosen to look at record number 5. So it's record 5 of 103, and we're shown the title, and the publisher is Dial Records, and we're shown the authors. And then there is a note field that indicates that the catalog entry was made possible in part by a grant from Lloyd E. Rigler and Lawrence E. Deutsch. So that's how you can do an author search. You can also do a search for words in the subject headings of an item. So that is the next kind of search that I've typed in on the command line. I want to look at the entries in the subject index for Jazz, Missouri, Kansas City. So this takes me into an alphabetical listing of subjects, and we see on line 3 there are 7 items for Jazz, Missouri, Kansas City. So I've chosen to look at those 7 items. And we see that most of them are for the Last of the Blue Devils. And I can once again use my limit feature. But this time I'm going to use the material type of visual materials. So I want to find out which one of those entries is for the film. So actually, all of them are the film. None of them happen to be the sound recording, the soundtrack. So I'm going to look at item number 2. And we can see in the physical details field, it is one video cassette that is 90 minutes long. And we are shown various authors and other subjects, one of which is Jazz, Missouri, Kansas City. A unique feature of this database is the like command. And that easily allows me to perform a search on a related topic without actually having to type in the search command. So I've typed the like command on the command line. And I'm shown all of the index entries for that item that I was just looking at. So I can just type the line number of any one of these items and perform a search for that topic. So I've typed in line number 2 to look at the subject entries for Jazz Musicians, Missouri, Kansas City. So once again, I'm taken into the subject heading index, and on line number 3, there are 10 entries for jazz musicians, Missouri, Kansas City. And we see even more entries for the last of the Blue Devils. There's an easy command to exit the database, which is quit. So I have typed that to exit this particular database. WorldCat is another database available by issuing the telnet command. It is a database provided by the Online Computer Library Center, or OCLC. This database contains entries for items owned by its participating institutions, which include the University of Missouri, Stanford University, and the Library of Congress. This database is similar to the Arlen Bibliographic Database because of the feature that allows a user to determine what institutions own a particular item. So this is the first screen that you see when you enter this database, and it gives you some tips on how to perform searches. I have also done an author search in this database. In this database, phrases that you type in are not looked at as phrases. So if you want words to appear next to each other, you must issue the near command. So that is what the N2 that I've typed in between the words Charlie and Parker are for. And that allows for the entries to have his middle initial or name shown as well. So I'm interested in items that show Charlie or Charles Parker. So there are over 1,100 items, and I've shown the first 8 here. This database also has a limit option that you can use. So I've typed in L to see the limit options. I can choose option 5 to limit my search results to recordings, so I've typed that in. And now we're down to 924 items, which is still a rather large result set. So I can use the limit option a second time, but this time I can use the publication year option. So I've chosen to look for items that were published either in or before the year of Mr. Parker's death. So I've typed dash 1955. So now we're down to 158 records. And if I looked at record number 6, this is what I would see. So in the year field, you can see it was published in 1946. I can also do a subject search in this database. So I've now typed in a search for items in the subject heading field having the words Kansas City Jazz. There were 21 items that matched my search, and I'm looking at item number 18. And towards the top of the screen, it says, your library may own this item. And since UMKC is a participating institution, this is an indication that we do own this item in our library. So a user could go to our online catalog and find out the location of this item. I can move forward in the display. So I'm now looking at page 2 of 2 of this record, and we can see the subject shown there is Jazz, Missouri, Kansas City, History and Criticism. If I want to see other items that own this, if I want to see other organizations that own this item, I can type in the Libraries command. So I've typed in LIB, And this is a partial listing of other locations in Missouri that also own this item. So there are some public libraries as well as academic libraries listed there. And I can exit this database by simply typing "buy." As I mentioned earlier, the internet can be used not just as a medium by which access to databases can be achieved, but also as a resource itself. The World Wide Web is a part of the internet that will allow you to use software such as Mosaic and Netscape to view colorful images and data. Just like the databases I have shown you, the files containing these images and data are housed on computers around the world. Because you must know the location of the file that you want to look at, there are search tools that can help you identify items of interest. Items on the World Wide Web are characterized by the links that they have to other internet resources, so you can easily jump from resource to resource without knowing the exact location ahead of time. I'm going to show you that knowing only a few locations can lead to hours of exploration. I used Netscape to access the sites that I'm showing you, and Netscape is a Windows-based software, so you'll notice Windows characteristics such as the scroll bar on the right side of the screen, and the drop-down menus along the top of the screen, and the toolbar. So this is the first picture that you get, that you see when you go to this particular site. It is a picture of a 1906 record shop, and there are some phonographs on display. And moving down the page, we are provided links to other internet resources. So the items in color and underlined, I can just click on with the mouse and be taken to that resource on the internet. So the first site I want to show you is the Wolverine Antique Music Society's site. This site provides several links, one of which is to 78 related text files. So I can click on that item. And I'm taken to this page. And if I scroll down the page, I will see these links for technical references and antique audio resources. So if I click on the item for Edison cylinder maintenance, I'm taken to this screen, which gives some brief hints on normal maintenance for an external horn Edison cylinder phonograph. And we see a picture of a phonograph there and a little dog. If I click on the back button, which is up here, I'll go back to this screen, and then I can choose a different option that I want to look at. So I can choose the link for antique phonograph supplies and services and get a listing of organizations. And we see the first one shown is the Antique Phonograph Supply Company, and their address is listed there. Another link that was on the previous page is for antique phonographic literature. So this is the screen I would see if I had selected that option. And if I choose the entry for Jim Powell, I'm taken to this screen that gives me a description of the publication Gramophone Adventures. Netscape keeps track of all the sites that you visit on the internet, so you can go back to a site using the Go menu option. So I've highlighted that very first page that I showed you, so I can go back to that page and choose a different resource. I saw the display in the back for Kurt's Record Shop, and there's also a website for this. So you can see the, thank you. this is the first thing that you see when you go to this website. And moving down the page, you get a description. And even further down the page, you can see that they are having an auction that's coming up. And the email address is listed there if you want to have information sent to you. So going back to this page again, I can now go to Tim's phonograph articles. And we see links for various articles relating to phonographs. This is one of the images that I was referring to. So you can see what a Victor 5 looks like. And also, we see here a Victor Victrola 12. And then you can even find cute stuff on the internet. So here we see Nipper listening for his master's voice. And there's even a site that has a grown-up Nipper with Chipper, which is the mascot that GE introduced when they bought RCA. There's also a site that I found for the Blue Note Jazz Club. And in case you don't know what that is, there is a link that will tell you what it is. It's a jazz club that's in Greenwich Village in New York. And if you're planning a trip to New York, you can even get directions on how to get there. There's a page that has their address. And even shows you a subway map. I mentioned earlier that the internet is changing the way some of us shop. So here is a site for CD World, which allows you to search for CDs by various artists or by record label. So I've done a search for, guess who? Charlie Parker. So we see a few of his items that are available for sale. And I can get the 10 CD box set of his recordings for a mere $81.77. If I were to click on that item, it gets put into my imaginary shopping basket. I guess I should say virtual shopping basket, because it is really a shopping basket. And then you can check out of CD World and then give your shipping and mailing information here and have the CDs sent to your house. Yeah, they do have a fax option, so you don't have to type in your credit card number. So, in conclusion, I have showed you how the internet can be used to gain access to databases as well as be used as a tool itself. Many libraries here and internationally can access the OCLC WorldCat and Arlen databases. Ask your friendly librarian if your local library is a participating institution. I hope the guides I made will assist you while you use these databases. And I have also made a guide that lists the addresses of the World Wide Web resources I showed. For those of you unfamiliar with the internet, I hope I have sparked an interest in exploring its use as a research tool. For those of you already acquainted with the internet, I hope I have shown you some resources that you will find helpful in your research. Now, I would like to entertain any questions you have, and if you think of any questions after today, I have listed my email address on the back side of my handouts, so please feel free to use that. Thank you for your attention. I'm sorry?
What quad rate are you using?
Jonathan?
This is a recorded presentation,
no,
not actually connected to the web.
I was wondering when she's actually on the net.
We have an extremely high-speed connection through UMKC's internet connection. It's in the neighborhood of 128 million baud.
Oh, okay.
Huge. It still takes time.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe you implied that it's possible to telnet into the.
Yes. Well, these. Well, these are subscription databases. So at the university, we subscribe to these databases, so we have an authorization code and a password. I'm not sure exactly how an individual would go about getting access other than going to an organization that.
So your students, for instance, can only get into your OPEC and not into Arlen?
Well, they can access Arlen, but unfortunately we don't have the capability to provide it from outside the library, so they just have to come to the library. But in the case of WorldCat, there are individual authorization codes and passwords that we have distributed to people affiliated with the university, so that allows them to gain access from wherever they have a computer. Excuse me, Chuck, did you want to say something?
Well, from my friend Bill Osmond, one of my computer buddies that works down at the Music Exchange, said you can access WorldCat through the KCPL gate.
Oh,
he has
okay.
actually done that, so there are institutions that do offer that as part of their service, and I think increasingly we'll see that. I know one thing, as a director of a sound archives, when I get a student that stumbles in and says, I'm looking for Donna Lee, and he has no idea who the author is of the label, it makes it awfully easy to look up that label and issue number and go straight to the stacks and go right to it and get a lot of different. It's cut down my search time. It made my life a lot easier having access to these databases.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say that an individual can subscribe to Arlen,
okay.
and they've got various price structures depending on how much searching you're going to be doing and so forth, but it is very expensive. I mean, you're going to want to really want it. It'll be in several hundred dollars to do that.
Okay.
Per month, per year?
I don't recall. It's a couple of years since I went into it.
It's a month.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
A couple points. One, if any of you are just doing a couple individual searches and you've got at least a couple weeks that you can wait, I teach advanced reference courses at my library school. We'd be more than glad to use your questions instead of the dumb ones my students think of. So send them my way. I'd be more than glad to entertain, integrating them into my course presentations. I've got a technical kind of question on the WorldCat. With the positional operator N, is it more precise than just simply designating N between, say, a first and last name? If you wanted to have proximity of, say, three words or less, would you have to designate it as 3N or N3, or is it?
Yes. Well, you just choose the number according to how many words in between you're willing to have. And I don't think you'd want to have very many in between because really a person could only have possibly three names, a first name, middle name, and last name. So that's why I just chose to use N2. But you can just use N without a number after it at all. Yes?
One thing I noticed that from Bowling Green, we're tied into OCLC, and we don't really subscribe to Arlen. But from what I can see in your examples from Arlen and then working with OCLC, that there's a terrible name authority problem. and with OCLC, you really have wonderful control, you know, even though some libraries catalog blindly, that the authority control is most important, especially with interlibrary loan departments, when they start looking up an entry and then they find out there's five entries for the same piece, and
right.
they have to look up each entry. You know, Charlie Parker is authorized only one way.
Right.
And when you start finding libraries that aren't doing authority work correctly, it's, you know, it's an almost embarrassment to the profession.
Right. I especially noticed in Arlen there, and you also may have noticed there were even misspellings of names, but however they got in there, they just stayed that way. So, yes.
You have to remember with Rigler Deutsch, we did not have
yeah.
a name authority.
Right.
It was what was on the record label.
Right, right. But I mean, I think there's other, you know.
We're not the only one
yeah,
that had
right,
that problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to mention for the non-institutional people, there's another source. I'm working my way into the net, but I go through online services in both AOL, which is in every magazine from McCall's to Brides to Popular Sciences Month. There's also CompuServe around there. They're a little hard to get some of their discs, but I had some sent, and they're back here at the table if anybody wants the 1 month trial.
Oh.
There's a couple of forums there which we find sometimes if you need an answer, just like asking here, you post the message and somebody will get back to you in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, on one of the sites that I showed you, there was a link for listservs that people might be interested in. So that is one way to get your questions answered. Yes?
I don't know if we made it clear. I might have not been paying attention that even though it you know, might be expensive for a private individual to get into OCLC or Arlen, that you can get into individual library databases. I mean, you should be able to call up Bill's library and get his whole catalog online. In fact, I even know people that steal cataloging off of that.
I know. I'm waiting for those checks from those libraries.
Yeah. That's true.
Listings in there.
G.G. Allen.
Yes.
The OCLC sound recording portion is available on a CD-ROM as well.
Mm-hmm.
Many libraries have that, and you can go in and, for example, our institution, you can sit down and play for that with that as long as you want, and also download some of the information.
Okay.
It doesn't cost you anything.
That's great.
It's much cheaper than any other kind of OCLC access we're aware of. I mean, Silver Platter has put out a very scaled-down search engine with it, and I don't think it's more than $200 or $300 every year.
Hmm.
Well, doesn't LC publish that on Silver Search? LC has a CD-ROM of LC cataloging, but not OCLC cataloging. And of course, OCLC cataloging includes LCs and everyone else's. The Silver Platter disk, quickly though, is a scaled down OCLC record. They take a couple fields out of it so you won't steal cataloging from it. So you have to go to the real source and pay for cataloging. But there's enough for most, I think most, you know, home collectors, but not for libraries. It's missing all the key fields, all the coded fixed fields.
One warning I have about accessing libraries online is that just be aware that most of the big institutions, their online catalogs are only have a tiny portion of their holdings. And some institutions are better than others about giving you that warning before you enter that catalog. It says, you know, please, this is only one-tenth of what we have. So just a warning to understand that, you know, that's not nearly the end of the road if you're, you know, searching people's OPACs online. It's not just tip of the iceberg.
Okay. Yes.
This is more a request than a question, I guess. But from the vantage point of a private collector or private researcher, we see more here that's almost a tease than it is a reality. There are all sorts of barriers to getting at it, it would seem, and all sorts of complications. For any of you who know about things like a CD-ROM, even if it's limited, make that information available, certainly to our members, those who are doing research, because I've been on the web for a while, and just simply finding this stuff and finding out who has what, getting into the Library of Congress database, you know, is something I couldn't do online. There may be something I don't know about how to get in there, but we need that kind of information. think it would be very helpful to the researcher and collector portion, certainly, and probably the library portion too, of ours, to publicize that information to us.
And maybe you can run a summary of the current.
I'm trying to find it.
I'd like to take a moment now and introduce Jonathan Hutchins, who answered that extremely technical question, which I could have only answered as very fast. He works in our library systems office in the Miller-Nichols Library.
If you have technical questions, I'll be glad to answer them after the session.
Are there, yes.
In response to what Tim is saying, there's a lot of music library home pages that have helpful links. In fact, our own Laura Gill Green is a good person to talk to that. And if you want to, for example, access LC, and I think I gave you that address, and I may have given you a bogus address, but you can call up the home page.
Apparently so.
Say it ain't so, Joe. But you can access a lot of these home pages like Indiana University, and it will take you where you want to go.
Yeah.
You can search ASCAP, BMI. They're wonderful tools, but I think this also speaks to the need for this organization to create a homepage with links.
We have a homepage, but you're talking about the links.
Yeah, I'm talking about taking it another step.
Right.
And also, it's interesting because here, during this conference, I found myself not getting phone calls, but getting email about the conference. And also, we can all communicate via this wonderful system. So I think this particular session opens our eyes to it. And also, I want to make a point that this presentation has a lot to offer to collectors as well as institutional people and catalogers. And I think it's really wonderful that Cynthia agreed to do this. Thank you, Cynthia.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Get started with the technical set.